welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here at Mile High Sports, and I'm coming to you after my Friday afternoon nap. It has been quite the day for the Colorado Avalanche. It's actually been quite the week for the Colorado Avalanche. In the midst of a four-game homestand that began coming off of two bad losses on the road, only for the Avalanche to win the first, then the second, then the third, then the fourth, in the two most recent games, beating the Pittsburgh Penguins and the San Jose Sharks, obviously two games that you should have won and two games that you did win, and setting yourself up in the midst of all that for a wild 24-hour trade deadline period. Actually, less than a 24-hour period, far less, because it went from about 24 hours ago, or less than 24 hours ago, at the start of the third period, where you made one big trade, and then you wake up Friday, and you cap it off with two more deals, pretty notable, one of them in terms of the player going out, the player coming in, the other one in the sense that you are bringing in quite the name, quite the reputation, and quite the fan favorite. What I decided I'm going to do is, rather than jump back and forth between one and two and three guys, I think it would be best for me to separate all three players and do an episode on each one. And that way, I'm focusing in on one guy at a time and just kind of sharing all of my thoughts about each particular deal before moving on to the next one. So you're going to probably see three episodes get dropped. I'm not going to record these one after the other because I also don't really want to sit here for the next hour and talk hockey, because then I'm going to rush by the time I get to the second or third one. So I'm going to slowly work through this little by little, and I'll release this one. And then later on in the afternoon, it's almost the evening now, I'll release the second one. And then I'll get the third one done at some point as well. Moral of the story, by the time you're up Saturday morning, you should see all three of these episodes in your podcast feed. I'll probably upload them all at the same time. That way, leading into a massive game, what's going to be very exciting between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Colorado Avalanche, 5 p.m. local puck drop, because it is a Canadian special hockey night in Canada in Denver. 7 o'clock Eastern East Coast start, 5 p.m. local. By the time you get to that game, you'll see all three of these in your podcast feed, and you can kind of rush through them one by one and just get Arif's thoughts on each of the three acquisitions that the Avalanche made. There's obviously more than three names. I think it's four names total, but that's beyond the point. One of them, which I will touch on in this first episode. So let's start there. In the middle of the Avalanche's, let's call it what it is, ass-whooping of the San Jose Sharks and Alexander Georgiev's return to Ball Arena, where he let in seven freaking goals and stayed in net the whole time, which made sense given the fact that San Jose just, it was already a bad team and they didn't have a lot going for them. They had three guys come out of the lineup, one that they traded, one that was about to be traded, and a third for trade-related reasons, which they then traded on Friday. So he didn't really stand a chance from the start, Georgiev, that is. But the Avalanche went into the third period up 5-1, and just kind of like the way it all unfolded is, the Avalanche start the third period, it's 5-1. I'm writing my game story. I'm starting to talk about what happened in the first period. I'm starting to talk about what happened in the second period. If any of you read my game stories, and if you don't, I hope you start to, ColoradoHockeyNow.com. I started talking about, I started breaking down what I like to call my good and bad is what I do for my game story. I'll do a quick game recap, and then I'll highlight the player of the game and the performer that struggled in that game, or if it's not a particular player, a specific play. Maybe it's the special teams. Maybe it's the power play. Maybe it's a bad penalty the Avalanche took. Maybe it was a coach's challenge. Maybe it was a player who played a role that he probably shouldn't have. Maybe it was a coach's decision. Anything of that nature. I got a good and I got a bad. So I started to highlight my good and bad. And in a day where Nathan MacKinnon had 2 goals, 3 assists, and Cale Makar scored 2 goals, added 4 assists for just the, I believe it's the third, or was it the fourth? The fourth 6-point game for a defenseman in the 31 years that I've been alive. The first one that included 2 goals. In 2004, Sheldon Surrey had a goal and 5 assists. About a year and a half ago, Chris Letang had 6 helpers. For the first time in my entire lifetime, a defenseman had 2 goals and 6 points. Cale Makar had 2 goals and 4 assists, and he wasn't the good. And the reason why that was is because if you all remember the way the Avalanche scored that power play goal with seconds left in the first period, I had to highlight that. The tic-tac-toe play, but it was actually 4 players. So I like to call it the tic-tac-tuck-toe play just because I feel like tic-tac-toe doesn't properly explain what had happened. And if my memory serves correctly, it went from Nathan MacKinnon to Arturi Lehkonen to Marty Neches to Jonathan Drouin to finish up the goal. Beauty of a play. So you start the third period. The Avs are up 5-1. The game is all but over. It ends up finishing 7-3. And as the third period gets going, the NHL insiders get to work and you start to see that Brock Nelson and the Colorado Avalanche is gaining traction. You keep on going. You get to the point where the deal's becoming more official. You're starting to learn what the Avalanche are sending the other way. Before the third period came to an end, the deal was announced. It came out. The email was sent from Avalanche's media relations, 9:58 p.m. for, if you guys remember, a 7:50 puck drop. So we're still in the third period. The Colorado Avalanche announced today that the team has acquired forward and center, let's say, Brock Nelson and forward William Dufour from the New York Islanders in exchange for defenseman, we hardly knew ye, Oliver Shillington, forward Callum Ritchie, a first-round draft pick in the 2026 NHL Draft, and a conditional third-round draft pick in the 2028 NHL Draft. I believe the conditions of that pick are related to the Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup, or at least getting there. So it's going to be a draft pick that, if the Avalanche give it away, you don't really care. So ultimately what the Avalanche did is they got Brock Nelson for Cal Ritchie, who was drafted in the first round in 2023, started the season here, and the first round draft pick in 2026. Pretty hefty cost. There is no two ways about it. But you knew going into this trade deadline, seeing what some of the deals that were out there and how they looked like. You know, let's look at, for example, the Tampa Bay Lightning trading 2 first-round draft picks, a second-round draft pick, and some other stuff. And I'm going to pull up the trade right now just to make sure that I get it right. To the Seattle Kraken for Yanni Gord and Oliver Bjorkstrand. It's a pretty hefty cost. To complete the deal, Tampa Bay sent forward Michael Eisenmont, a first-round draft pick in 2026, a first-round draft pick in 2027, and Toronto's second-round draft pick in 2025, which they had previously acquired. 2 firsts, a second, and a depth forward in Eisenmont for Yanni Gord and Oliver Bjorkstrand. Yanni Gord's had a tough season, just got back from injury, is a UFA this summer. I'm assuming they're probably going to sign him to some low number. And Bjorkstrand is a 29-year-old who's got 37 points in 61 games. He has another year remaining on his contract at $5.4 million. So for a year and a half of Bjorkstrand locked up and for a rental piece in Yanni Gord, which they probably will sign, we'll see how it goes, they gave up two firsts, a second, and Michael Eisenmalt. So when you look at kind of where this trade deadline was going, you knew that anything that the Avalanche bring in was going to cost you. And it did. Callum Ritchie is the most highly sought-after prospect this organization has. What does that mean in the grand scheme of things? We're going to find out. We're going to find out how good a player he is, if he's an NHL regular, if he becomes an NHL regular, to what level. So that's the big piece. And then, of course, you have the 2026 first-round draft pick, which, as of right now, you don't know where that draft pick is going to be. But what we do know is that the 2026 draft is going to be a pretty good one. And the Avalanche no longer have a first-round draft pick in that, and that's okay. If you look at the next two drafts this season, the Avalanche have a fourth-round pick and a seventh-round pick. They've traded one, they've traded two, they've traded three, they've traded five, and six. Next year in 2026, they traded one, two, and three. They still have eight picks, but it's two fourths, three fifths, and three sevenths. And then in 2027, they still got pretty much their entire stock, cupboard stocked up, a first, a second, a fourth, two fifths, a sixth, and a seventh. So they don't have a third, but they do have a couple of fifths. So that's when you have assets a couple years from now. But the next two drafts, you don't have any picks in the first through the first 96 picks, the first three rounds of the draft. Obviously, that could change. I believe this year's first rounder is the one that was traded to the Philadelphia Flyers last year on March 6th, along with Ryan Johansson for Sean Walker. This year's second round draft pick was traded on March 1st, 2023 to the Washington Capitals for a brutal trade deadline rental in Lars Eller. And this year's third round draft pick, let me pull that one up real quick. This year's third round draft pick is what got the Avalanche Yakov Trenin, and it was traded to the Nashville Predators for Jeremy Hansel and a 2025 third. So you've basically already, going into this year's draft, had traded your top three picks, one of them to offload Ryan Johansson. So let's look at it from the other way. One of them to get Sean Walker as a rental last year. One of them as to get Lars Eller as a rental in 2023. And then the third one to get Yakov Trenin as a rental last year. Sometimes the rentals work, sometimes they don't. As you can see, all three of these did not work. In 2026, that first round draft pick, it's part of this trade for Brock Nelson. In 2026, the second round draft pick was part of the trade along with Nikolai Kovalenko that got you Mackenzie Blackwood, Jovani Smith, and then a fifth round draft pick swap. So you gave away your 2025 fifth. You got back a 2027 fifth. The third round draft pick from this year, that was the trade that you sent last year to Minnesota for Brandon Duhaime. Another rental. So all in all, a lot of trades, a lot of draft picks. But let's go back to this deal. Let's start with this one. Let's start with what the Avalanche are getting in Brock Nelson. I'm going to pull up the exact quote from Jared Bednar because they love this guy. They love what they're getting here, and understandably so. Jared Bednar said, "It's a huge add. It's a huge add. Looking at how hard it is come playoff time, and you're adding a player of Brock's caliber, center position." Get used to these words because Chris McFarland used a lot of them too. Big, long, strong, can skate, highly productive, getting better with age. Jared Bednar went on to say, He's always been a trusted 200-foot player. And if you look at his history, I mean, he's scoring 30-plus goals most years too. So to get a player of that caliber is hard to do. It's an amazing add for our team. Here a little bit more from Devon Taves, who New York Islander teammates with Brock Nelson. Taves also spoke today and said that he was one of the first people to call Brock, and he was very quick to welcome him to Denver. Brock Nelson, I thought this was awesome. Brock Nelson talked about Zach Parise also speaking up and talking up Colorado, the organization, the city, and the fan base. And I thought that was awesome because when Parise signed with the Avalanche last year in January, he was coming off 2 years with the New York Islanders, and it was looking like he might go back there for a third year before he chose to end his career with the Avs. God, I would love to have Parise in the lineup this year, now that I think about it. And I don't mean this year's version of Parise. I mean last year's version of Parise. I would have loved if this was the roster that he was joining instead of the one last year. But that's beyond the point. People are loving it here. What Devon Taves said is, where is it? Let me start with Ryan Lindgren. What Ryan Lindgren said was, I know Brock a little bit. We skate together in the summer. Obviously, Lindgren coming from the Rangers. Quote, I played against him a lot during the year, but he's a heck of a player, a heck of a guy. He's a great addition. It's really exciting what they got going on here. I'm just happy to be a part of it. Obviously, Lindgren acquired 6 days prior to the trade deadline was the first big domino along with Jimmy Vesey to fall. I don't have the Devon Taves quote in this article. I need to probably find it in a different one, but let me move on to kind of a little bit more of a breakdown of Brock Nelson. 61 games this year, 20 goals, 23 assists, 43 points. Last year, he had 34 goals. The year before that, 36. The year before that, 37. This guy scores a ton of goals. He's playing 19-21 per game this year. He's got 6 freaking game-winning goals for a team that only has 28 wins. He plays on the PK. He's got 3 shorthanded goals this year. Plays on the power play. He's got a power play goal this year. He plays more than 19 minutes per night, which is the most he's ever played in his career, which I think is wonderful, coming to a team that plays the ever-living shit out of Nathan MacKinnon. He plays in all situations. He's a wonderful add for the Colorado Avalanche. And most importantly, I don't want to say most importantly, but very, very, very big part of Brock Nelson's game is just how durable this guy is. I'm going to go back a decade. In 2013-14, well, a little more than a decade, Brock played 72 games for the Islanders. His first full NHL season, he had 14 goals, 12 assists. He was 22 years old. I'm not even going to pretend I know what happened back then. Maybe he got injured and missed 10 games. Maybe he was called up 10 games into the season. But then you go back a decade. In 2015, the 14-15 season, Brock Nelson played 82 games. The 2015-16 season, he played 81 out of 82. The 2016-17 season, 81 out of 82. The 2018 season, all 82. The 2019 season, all 82. The 2020 season, all 68 before COVID. The 2021 shortened season, all 56. In 2022, he missed 10 games. He played 72. In 2023, all 82. In 2024, all 82. In 2025, all 61 before the trade to the Colorado Avalanche. So from 2015 until today, we're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 full seasons of hockey. He missed one game on 2 occasions and then 10 games in 2022, the year the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup, which is still the year that he scored 37 goals, a career high, which he did at the age of 30. This guy has missed 12 games in the last 11 seasons of NHL hockey. He's as durable as they come. 6'3", like Jared Bednar said. Big, long, strong type of body. Sorry, listed at 6'4", not 6'3". 6'4", 205 pounds, plays in all situations. He's a muck and grind type of player, and the Avalanche got a lot of that here today, here around the deadline. He's the right type of guy to have on your team. He's the right type of guy to finally find to replace what you had in Nazem Kadri. Is he going to give you what Kadri did? He's going to give you something different. He's 5 goals away from 300 in his career. He's played 901 games. This is a guy that the Avalanche were highly sought after. This is a guy that they wanted. His last game with the Winnipeg Jets on March 4th, he had a goal and an assist. You guys probably saw the video of him kind of getting emotional and breaking down a little bit on the bench when he was being interviewed by the local reporter there in the arena talking about his time with the New York Islanders. In his last 5 games with the Islanders, he had 3 goals and 4 assists. He played more than 20 minutes in each of his last 4 games. He's been an absolute star for that team for a long time. This is a very good add for the Colorado Avalanche. The other piece they got in the trade, William Dufour, is kind of a throw-in. He's not much of anything in the NHL. One AHL game, he's obviously going to play in the AHL with the Avalanche as well. But Brock Nelson coming in as your second-line center, and we already know where he's going to play. He's going to wear jersey number 11, and we already know where he's going to play. He's going to be on that second line, taking over for Casey Mittelstadt, playing between Val Nichushkin and Jonathan Drouin. He's going to be on the second power play unit. He's going to be a big piece of this team for the remainder of the year. He's also won 52% of his faceoffs this year. He gives the Avalanche another option at the draw, and he's going to slot in very nicely as the second line center. I love everything about what the Avalanche got in this player. Again, it costs a lot. Callum Ritchie might be a very good NHL player, but you can't kind of hedge your bet on might. You need a guy now. You got a guy now. He is a UFA this summer. We asked Chris McFarland if signing him was something that they're going to want to do, and he said it wasn't something that they can that they're going to explore right now, not until the offseason, and they'll do that with all the UFAs, which obviously includes guys like Jonathan Drouin as well. Yoel Kiviranta, I believe, is also a UFA. I'm just out of curiosity trying to remember what other guys are UFAs this summer. Brock Nelson and Jonathan Drouin, those are 2 parts of your top 6. Obviously, Yoel Kiviranta, obviously Jimmy Vesey. And then on defense, Ryan Lindgren and the other guy you just traded for in Eric Johnson. So, not a lot of movement. You got a lot of guys already locked up for next season, for the 25-26 season if you're the Colorado Avalanche. You don't really need to plan for that much change. $53 million locked up into your forwards, which is $6 million more than this year. But you got to sign 4 guys, Nelson, Drouin, VC, and Kiviranta, or obviously replace them. On defense, you have your top 4, which are the same top 4 that you've had for a long time. Makar, Taves, Gerard, and Manson locked up for $26 million. You got to sign a couple more guys. Lindgren was making 2.25, Eric Johnson, $1 million, Malinsky, $850, Middleton, $775, and he's locked up for a couple more years at that price. And then obviously your goaltending, $6.750 million between Blackwood and Wedgwood. So, yeah, not a lot of UFAs. It's Nelson, it's Drouin, it's VC, it's Kiviranta, it's Ryan Lindgren, it's Eric Johnson. And if you recall, 3 of those 4 names are guys that they just traded for over the next 6 days. Over the last 6 days, I should say. So that's what you're going to get in Brock Nelson. I think I said this, he's going to wear jersey number 11. He is going to play for the Avs on Saturday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'm really excited to see what he brings. I'm really excited for the fact that the Avalanche started this homestand with a roster and a lineup that's going to look so different. That would have looked so different from the one that we saw let me flip this. The lineup that we're going to see against the Toronto Maple Leafs is going to look so different from the one that we saw in the first game of this homestand. And I'm going to find that lineup here in a little bit, but at that point, Calvin DeHaan was still here. Oliver Shillington was still here. Sam Molinsky was in the lineup. He's probably not going to play the next game. Juuso Parsonen was in the lineup. Val Nichushkin wasn't even healthy yet. You didn't bring in Ryan Lindgren yet. You didn't bring in Jimmy Vesey yet. It was a different lineup. But that's what you're going to get from Brock Nelson. I'm going to put an end to this show here. I'm going to talk next about the trade that came after it, which involved another couple of centermen, Casey Mittelstadt, Charlie Coyle. That'll be the next episode I release here in a couple hours. But if you made it this far in the podcast, bless that pretty little heart of yours. Let's make hockey for everyone. Talk to you guys soon. We out ya.